Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jonathan Harrison. He's a spiritual guide, intuitive healer and mystic, and he has interest in psychic awareness, mediumship, trance and channeling. And he has a book called We Are All One, which I would think is self-explanatory, but we will find out. Welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for inviting me on.
Well, you're very welcome. It's true to say that at BBS we do get a lot of inquiries for slots on our programme, but I tend to like guests which have backgrounds similar to your own, so that suits me very well. Now, Jonathan, the question I always like to ask, and I wonder about people who have already found their spiritual destiny, is how did it start, or where did all this start for you?
Okay, I think, Mike, when you first have an experience, or have several experiences maybe, you start back through your life a little bit. And I guess that's what I did. I started to look back, and as I dug deeper, I found other things that I'd kind of ignored or shut to the back of my consciousness. So you kind of realize that these things have been going on all the time, and you don't always notice them, because we, you know, even as a child or as an adolescent, your life is kind of busy, and you're told that life is a certain way and you're programmed in a certain fashion. So very often we ignore things that are actually quite startling. So kind of to answer your question, I think mine eventually goes back to childhood, where I had an experience of a close neighbour dying one morning, and we'd been having a party the night before on New Year's Eve at my mother's house, and we were dancing around in a circle, and we were all holding hands and singing Auld Lang Syne. And anyway, the guy, bless him, passed away that night, and the next morning my mum told me, and of course I was shocked, because he was perfectly healthy the night before. And anyway, that evening when I went to bed, I looked up in the sky, and I actually saw his face smiling down at me, telling me it was all right. So, but that took me a long time to remember that. But now that I've remembered it, you know, a few years ago that I actually remembered it, the picture of it stuck with me, you know, from that time. So, yeah, there isn't really a defined period, I think. If you look at yourself honestly, there are probably things you can find that go back throughout your life.
Yes. I mean, did that have any bearing on the interest that you've taken up, which I have mentioned?
I think, no, it was just part of the story there, but I think probably the biggest change in my life would have been sitting, having dinner with some friends, it must be about 6 years ago now, and I suddenly went into trance for no reason whatsoever, not knowing anything about trance or mediumship. And so really that was really what started it for me in a bigger way, because I had no choice and it kind of slapped me in the face. So, okay. You know, you can imagine just having a normal dinner with some friends and family and then you go into trance. It's not an easy thing to get out of. So you kind of have to look at yourself and look at the reasons.
Were you aware of what you actually said?
Part of it I was, Mike, and the other part I wasn't. As it went deeper, I really wasn't aware, no. But initially, I was aware, and then I went deeper and I wasn't aware. And then I had to learn, you know, about everything that I'd experienced so that I could understand it.
Yes. So this is the first time you went into trance. Was it a spiritual revelation that you came out with? I mean, what did you actually say? What type of things?
I think just truths. I think that's what spiritual revelations to me are, truths. The whole point of us developing is seeking truth and finding that truth. That's the whole point. And then introducing that into our lives, of course. But so what did I find? I think it's a difficult question to answer, but I think I found more truth. I think I found more of the reason why I'm alive, but also the reason why you're alive and other people are alive. that we're all seeking the essence of our existence.
Yeah. So did you use that, I call it ability, because it obviously happened to you without your sort of input, as it were. It just happened all of a sudden. But did you come to do that by choice and then take it up and do some channeling?
Yes, but I, as I said to you, I kind of went to learn what had happened to me. So I went to college in England at Stansted, Arthur Findlay College.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I learned a bit more about trance work there. And then it kind of developed on from there. And I was very lucky to have some very good teachers and some very good friends who were able to help me learn and understand what was going on. So really, it developed from trance, channeling, whatever you want to call it, really into it, you know, because I think all these things are really about a personal search. They're about a search of your nature, a search of your essence. And so really that was part of the stepping stone, was learning about trance as part of a ladder to climb.
Yes. Was that the only, what I believe you have called, mystical event that happened to you?
No. I've had a few other things happen to me. In 2007, in 2006 we started our centre in France, and in 2007 I had a near-death experience during which I collapsed, and my wife was with me. And it got to the point where I actually left my body and was looking down at my wife and my body, and a very traumatic experience, mostly for my wife, Wendy. But an interesting experience for me, because I actually got to experience what it was like to be consciousness and to be alive without being in my body.
Right. I mean, would you care to tell us anything about that? I mean, did you meet your maker and then decide that you didn't want to go at that time?
No, I'm afraid I didn't have any exciting story like that, I'm afraid. I just had a very had a boring one, I'm afraid. But I just say collapsed to the floor, and my whole vision, as well as say my consciousness, but my vision of what was going on went above my body. And it went on for about 15 or 20 minutes, this whole episode, and then, it was just sitting there looking at my wife talking to me and realizing that me was not lying on the floor. Me was above the body that was lying on the floor.
Oh, right.
And that went on for, the whole thing went on, say, for about 15, 20 minutes, and then over the evening, my wife was obviously very concerned and wanted to call an ambulance, and I told her there's no point because I wasn't going to die. And I absolutely knew, you know, I was very interconnected with everything, I'd say, at that point in time. And I knew what was going to happen, you know, in a psychic kind of awareness, whatever you want to call it. But I was at one with everything. And as I came down from that experience, I went through channeling and mediumship and psychic awareness as I came down, if you like, you know, because it was a very high state of consciousness.
So
over the evening, my wife waited for me to calm down and get back to normal, which took a few hours.
Right. So now, how did all this lead you into healing? Because I will tell our listeners that you have founded the Jubon Centre of Healing in France. What led you onto that path?
Well, again, I think that was another experience going back quite a few years now, where I just suddenly stumbled into healing, and it started with animals. When you're in that place of clarity, if you like, of interconnected mind, you were able to touch things and heal them, and I was able to do that with animals, and began to work more with this kind of soul, the spiritual side of people rather than physical, because it's all interconnected, as you know, Mike. But I literally had experience of touching things or healing things kind of on the spot, which kind of was a bit strange, because you know, these are not things we talk about very often, but yet they do exist and they do happen. And
yeah.
I suppose I'm the type of person that needed to experience that to realise the truth of it. So for me, it was another you know, eye-opening situation.
So what is it you actually teach at the centre?
Okay, I wouldn't say, I mean, I don't like to say teach because I think sharing is a nicer word in terms of an explanation because we're not teaching anything that anybody hasn't got. Everybody's got everything they need, and I think they just need to be aware. So it's teaching awareness, if you like, sharing awareness, sharing the understanding of an inner self, sharing the possibilities of that as well, and sharing the true nature of human being. Which is, which to me is intelligent love and peace of mind, and they're very, very powerful things. And you know, teaching people that it's not about I has no place, you know, in intelligent love. So it's teaching people about true self. It's teaching people about oneness. It's people that within all those possibilities, the world can change, and obviously you can change and help. Create a new and better world.
Yes. Do you believe that everyone can heal?
I believe that everyone can heal, yes. I believe that everybody can heal themselves and heal other people. It's just depending on where we are within our awareness at this time. You know, we don't... I really do believe that because it's not a gift as such that is limited to a certain few people because if it's a spiritual gift, it must therefore be within all people.
Yeah. I mean, what sort of advice would you give someone who was interested in self-healing? How would they approach it?
In terms of self-healing, I think the best way is to initially begin with meditation, to begin with stillness and peace and finding some space in your own life to have some clarity about what your illness is, why it occurred, and how it can be made better. So you need stillness and peace within your mind to be able to look at the possibilities that can help you recover.
Right, so for meditation we could also read prayer, I suppose. There isn't a great deal of difference. But how about visualization? Does that come into it?
Yeah, well, I'd create visualization. I would add that into meditation. So prayer, meditation, visualization, to me they're all of the same essence because they're all using the mind to develop that ability to go beyond yourself. So, I would agree with using all those elements that can help you.
Yeah. Would you say that the idea is to visualize yourself in a healthy condition, not to focus on what is wrong, but in effect, manifest the perfected state, is that the path you would tread?
I would give people a path according to their understanding, Mike. So, yes, you could provide somebody with a visualization of their own wellness of being, their own divine nature and their own wholeness. Or, you know, some people respond better by going into the illness. You know, by going into it and approaching it and really analysing the illness or what's wrong with them. And very often these people are people that can really dissolve the problem because they're not walking away from the problem and glossing it over. They're actually dissolving the problem by approaching it.
Yeah. Why did you found the centre in France? Is it simply that you live there?
I do live in France, and we did live in France before we started the centre, but again, another strange one, I suppose. In 2002, we, by accident, went to a spiritualist church in the West Country, and we were on holiday with our family. We've got two young children, and I said to my wife, that sounds interesting, let's go to that. We'd never been to anything like that. And so we went to the service and everything, and the lady picked me out and told me that I was going to open a centre, a spiritual centre in France, which kind of seemed a bit odd, but I knew it to be true as well, so it's a very bizarre situation. I hadn't decided to do that, but I knew that in my being, as soon as she said it, that it was true. So, yeah, it's we were in France, and then part of my journey was to do that. So,
yeah. I mean, how did you come to end up in France anyway?
Well, we left England in the mid-90s, a bit perplexed with everything, and we'd been through the... The last crash that was in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
And we kind of couldn't see a time where we'd be able to pay our mortgage off and have a life for children we wanted to have. So we came to France. My mother had a holiday house in France, and we used to come here and used to think this is a nice place to live. Mm. And so we've been here for 13 years, and both the children were born here.
All right. You're well established, to say the least.
Yeah.
Do you do any sort of postal courses or internet work to do with your healing centre?
We don't at the moment, but we're planning to in next year. So because the amount of work that we've got to do kind of keeps us busy at this time, but we're hoping to do. There's several different projects open. Opening up for next year, and definitely doing an online healing course is one of them.
Right. So there you share knowledge about healing. Is it also a place where people can or will be able to go to for healing?
Yes, absolutely. We all, myself, Wendy, my wife, and Sharon, who works with us, we're all healers of different with different natures, and.
Right.
Yeah, that's something we do by the by. You know, it's obviously something part of our lives.
Right. Well, I've done healing for many years, and I learned with a society in England called the Atlantean Society. What method of healing do you use? Do you lay on hands, or?
For me personally, I developed a musical healing where. I was kind of taught and shared something that enabled me to go to a piano and play music that was direct to the centre or to the essence of that person that was being healed. And it's a very powerful method of healing. So, yeah, it's literally a piece of music that comes out as you sit and talk to that person for a little while.
Oh.
You develop a little bond and... I'm able to express that in music, so...
That's very interesting. I haven't heard of that method. I have had people on the program who are involved in sound healing. And it reminds me, in view of what you've said, of how often musical pieces set by Mozart have been found to have that healing quality. It's very surprising,
yeah.
And yet I guess you would agree that the quality of sound that you have with classical music is often so pure, I think it really vibrates or resonates with one's body. Do you think that's
absolutely
how it feels?
I think... Sorry,
Hang
Mike?
On, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, do you
I was
think
say
that is how the healing takes place because it resonates with your body?
I think that for classical music, and that's what the stuff that I work with is kind of classical Baroque music, which is never anything that I've learnt. I've not even learnt grade one piano. But I can play, for some reason, this kind of classical Baroque music. And I feel that type of music is something that scientifically actually interconnects both sides of the brain. Certain types of music respond or create a frequency that responds within your brain. And for classical music, like you say, it is quite pure and quite a good expression of that which we're talking about, that I think it connects very much with the heart and soul of a person.
I'm sure many people have... sat down and played a nice piece of classical music, and they closed their eyes and they felt very uplifted by it. So I think many could vouch for that type of experience. Now, something that interests me a lot when I read about your different aspects is that you have an aura camera, but it's not any old aura camera. You call it a state of the art. Now, why that interests me is some years ago, I went to a meeting where a lady came with an aura camera, which she had imported from the States. I think it was not dissimilar to the Curlian photography, but I was a little disappointed, which is why I want you to comment on this, because it seemed to me in everybody's photograph, there was only a minimal number of colours, like red, green, blue and yellow. And it seemed to me there must be more colours in people's auras. What could you tell me about that, and how does your aura camera compare? I mean, is it different?
Well, all I can say is a full spectrum of colours. It's not limited to three or four colours. And I don't know what the camera was this lady had, but, yeah, this is through a computer system. It's probably the same principle with the hand mechanism where your hand is on the plate. You probably have the same one. But this is read through a computer program, so you get a very clear and digital picture of somebody's aura. So it's a very good indicator, and it's a very good way for people to begin to learn, you know, about frequency and about balance within their bodies.
Yeah. The one I'm referring to was actually more or less a head and shoulders shot, so you could see the colours obviously swirling in the aura, maybe at about a foot or two away from your head and shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're all pretty much of a muchness with that line. You know, the head and shoulder shot is only going to give the colours, you know, around the head and shoulder, and this one has other readings and has a chakra graph as well, explaining where energy is required or is over built up, if you like, in a certain area. So it's kind of interesting.
I'm guessing you can do two things with that then. One, you're apparently using it to detect weaknesses or illnesses in a person, which is shown in the aura, but it also acts as a reading of the person's, you could say, personality.
Yeah,
you agree with that?
I agree with that, but primarily, Mike, it was bought for the person to see that themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can come one day, and when they arrive, they may be feeling ill or feeling down, and, you know, within a week, you can see a complete change, depending on the person and their response to being here, a complete change in their feeling and their aura and their colours. And I think that's the primary reason why we bought it, was to show people that, you know, by taking care of yourself and by having that bit of peace and stillness within, you can do wonders for yourself.
Yeah. Do you teach people to see auras, what I would call naturally, with your own, I would say your own sight? I know there's a technique in doing it because I have tried it and been successful, but do you teach that as well?
We don't teach that, but that's the reason. The original reason I was drawn to the aura camera was that I could see auras and colours around people. And it was kind of a personal search that I was on, and I wanted to share and explain that with other people.
All right, yeah. I mean, as a matter of interest, where does your camera come from? I mean, does it come from the States?
It does come from America.
It does, yeah.
Yeah,
I just wondered who was clever enough to do that one. Right. You publish, apparently, spiritual articles, and correct me if I'm wrong, according to what I read, you have written one called The Truth About Jesus. Now, tell us about that.
Well, I just think, you know, I was brought up in middle-class Protestant England, like a lot of people I know, and I wanted to give an indication of maybe another side of the story on Jesus. I wanted to explain to people that from my experience and my understanding and my awareness that a lot of what we we kind of are taught as children about this man is not what I believe to be true. And there are very powerful truths within the Jesus story that have not been fully explained. So, I mean, we could spend all night on that one, but it was basically, yeah, I think it was, again, part of that clarity within my own mind of, say, being brought up in that religion and trying to understand, you know, why there were certain expressions that I couldn't really understand as a child and never really felt attached to, such as, you know, he died to save my sins. And I was never fully comfortable with that. I was never fully comfortable with saying a lot of the things that, you know, that I won't go into details because some people fervently believe, you know, whatever they want to believe. But for me, it didn't hang true. And yet there were other things as I went into it that became true in a different fashion.
Yeah.
So I think if you go to the other extreme, you know, can somebody rise from death? I'm absolutely sure that they can, but not in a physical sense.
No.
And I wanted to explain that. You know, I want to explain that what Jesus was probably going through was a state of consciousness that was connected with what we would call the divine, with an enlightened mind. That's what was going on. And really, I felt very frustrated that, you know, 2,000 years on, we had very little understanding of that.
Yeah. So, do you actually believe that he was crucified?
Yes, I do.
Right. So, we're talking about, really, his resurrection. The story in the Bible doesn't actually say that he was resurrected in his physical body, does it? Didn't the body sort of disappear and then he reappear in a light body at first, wasn't recognized before
don't
his
touch
disciples.
Me yet, because that's right. But of course, the ignorance has been that, you know, the ignorant understanding has been that he died on the cross and then he rose from the dead, pushed away the stone himself and ran off somewhere and then turned up in another place. It's all a bit disjointed. And I just wanted to give an understanding that, you know, it is possible to see a body that has passed as a living entity.
Right. Well, I mean, when you were looking into that side of the life of Jesus, was it an inspired answer you got, or was this a calculated reason that you arrived at normally?
That's an interesting question. I went for the truth of it. I wanted to understand the truth of it without being... I don't belong to any particular religion, Mike, and I want other than truth. So I wanted to understand and feel the truth of it. So that's how I arrived at my understanding of it, is by my understanding of truth.
Yeah. I mean, I suspect you were probably very intuitive about the answers there. I'm sure that type of subject interests many, many people, and I must declare that I also went through my early life and came to similar conclusions because my parents did what most did in my day, which was in the sort of 40s, sent me off to Sunday school every Sunday.
Well,
I spent a lot of my early life going to church regularly, and even in those days, like you, I didn't always find that what I was being told seemed acceptable to me. I mean, I didn't know the answers, but I knew it didn't quite sound right.
What did you deduce? Because you say if you weren't happy with it, when you came to your understanding, do you feel that was through insight or...?
Well, I suppose there is a knowing deep down inside and some things just don't come over in a way that you can accept them. I think for me it was the things that didn't seem to have answers in the church's teachings, and I always wanted to know more, and I wanted to know the answers. And I just felt they were there, but the church didn't seem to be able to produce them. So I think that was the basis of my not feeling really at home with their teachings. But then having said that, I have to agree that the New Testament, I think, has a lot of good spiritual sense in it. You take what, yes, out of it what you like, don't you?
Exactly. I think all religions are there for a purpose, but they're also there to lead you on from that and not be so connected with, you know, with the teachings and really try and have experience, you know, try and experience it yourself.
Yeah. I suspect in light of your experiences, particularly, say, with your near death, that you believe in reincarnation. Would that be correct?
Well, that's... I would say, I'm going to give you two answers, and that would be yes and no. I believe in reincarnation. but let me clear that. I'll be clarify that one, because I believe in reincarnation. If you consider yourself to be an entity who is I, who is a separate piece of the puzzle, then, of course, there will be reincarnation, and reincarnation exists, because you are, your consciousness is an individual separate part of a huge puzzle. But the whole purpose of spiritual searching is to reach the point where there is no I, where there is no concept of being separate from you, me, and everything else. And I think if you reach that state, then, you know, there is no reincarnation. So the answer is yes and no.
It's now and no later. Well, you've very cleverly brought us to the point of discussing your book, that we are all one. Because that's what you're really saying, isn't it? That once you unite with every other soul, it's not that you're ever separated, but once you realise that you are connected, then there is no separation at all. Tell us about the book.
Well, that the experience we were talking about earlier, Mike, when I collapsed on the floor and had out-of-body experience more than a near-death experience, but it was certainly borderline, led me to the next day just sitting there in shock and my wife comforting me, if you like, for the next day and figuring out why and, you know, all the pros and cons of it. And the following day I just said to her, I'm going to write. I feel I should write. Now I should
Yeah,
as you do. And I've never written anything before, and I just said, I've got to write. So I've got a little room upstairs, and I went up to my little room and went typing, and I typed for 6 days, and I wrote a book. And I didn't choose to write a book. You know, in my open consciousness, I never sought to write a book, and it just came out from the experience. And the hammering home thing that occurs again and again, the repeated sentence is, we are all one, because when you get to that point of oneness, of interconnection, you see that as truth. That's really what you see. You don't see yourself being anything particularly, because you're not separate from anything at all. You only see oneness. You only see everything whole as it is.
Did you feel at any stage that what was happening, that you were developing a higher consciousness and through that an understanding of this oneness?
Definitely, Mike. I was completely, I would say elevated is probably the best expression. I was so, I was definitely in an enlightened consciousness, that's for sure, for these matter of days. And that consciousness, that state, is part of it is the experiencing of it. And the other part is sharing it, because you know that it is inherent in all people. You know that everybody has the same potential to realize and enjoy that and share in it, because that's really what they are at the heart of their being.
I read in notes about yourself that you like to introduce people into expanded states of consciousness. That really connects with what we've just been talking about, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because, you know, what you see at one level as an expanded, you know, state of consciousness is really more truth about themselves, because really all you're taking away all the worries of today and tomorrow and yesterday, and just sitting there and going into yourself. And really an expanded state of consciousness comes about through the clarity of your mind in the present moment. So yeah. By letting go all the unimportant things, I would say, that are there hanging about in your mind and just letting them dissolve and pass away while you enjoy yourself, you know, enjoy finding yourself. Yeah. And I think there's a thing in the book, it says, you know, when you find yourself, you find all others. And that's really the truth about, you know, a spiritual transformative experience, is that, you know, when you let yourself go, you will find all others.
Yes, right. It's a lot of this finding your true self, because right from the time we're born, we're very much put into little pigeonholes, aren't we? And we're told how we should be and how we should act and so forth. We have to break out, perhaps, from a lot of rigid constraints and so forth. Do you think that's part of it?
I definitely do think that's part of it, Mike. And, of course, the way the world has gone, there have been less constraints, but there's also been more chaos in the world. So I think that's why we're arriving at a time now where there are more people becoming aware that what we're told and what we learn as young people formulate, obviously, part of our, you know, of our being. Mm. But I think it's, you know, definitely part of what you're taught and part of the way you're brought up formulates your being. But there's also a part of you that, the real part of you that is unchanging, that is just truth. And that's the part that we all need to get to.
Do you believe, like a lot of people, and this also includes myself, that we're going through a very strong period of cleansing on the earth, and that there are higher energies being grounded upon the earth, leading us possibly onto a period of ascension?
I think there's more people becoming aware. And by more people coming aware, of course, we can see that as a, you know, an increase or an increase in higher forms of energy or whatever way you want to look at it. There's definitely an expansion of awareness. Yeah, for sure. Mm. And the amazing thing is that, you know, the age of some of these people now that are very aware is seems to be coming younger and younger, because they know they're not happy just being supported or just seeking material things and just seeking desires and pleasures, because it doesn't fill you up. Mm. So that's the exciting thing, is the amount of young people.
Yeah. Well, talking of young people, I was going to ask you, I mean, are you aware and have heard of the incoming, what they call indigo children or so forth? In other words, the more enlightened souls that seem to be coming to the earth this time to help us uplift them.
Yes, I've read and understood about the concept of indigo children, but I would say, you know, expansion of awareness that's going on at the moment just means that this is something that's inherent in all people, something that doesn't matter how old you are or what age you are, but obviously the more you have in your way, the more difficult it is to find, to ascend into that understanding. That's the difficulty, depending on your upbringing, I think, a lot of that.
Right, yes. So at your centre, how do you put all this over? Do you sort of have workshops and go through all this?
Yeah, we do workshops, we do individual healings and personal retreats. We do a bit of everything, Mike, so there's no. I like to respond to each person's needs. That's the whole point of it, and not to formulate them into what I want to do. You know, the whole point is that it benefits the person that's coming here.
Yeah. Now, what is this thing you have? I call it a thing. It's a magazine. I must give it its right name. You have a magazine called Cosmic Lighthouse. Can you explain how it's Singapore-based online?
Yeah, it's an excellent metaphysical online magazine called Cosmic Lighthouse, and they do all sorts of stuff from healing, channeling, and all sorts of different levels of awareness. And I think it's CosmicLighthouseMagazine.com, is it, I think? But there are some people, they come.
If you're sure
if you put Cosmic Lighthouse into Google, it'll come up for sure, because it's a very good source of information for people.
Is that free online?
Yes, it is.
Right, okay. I always do a short archive write-up of any program, so when I come to do it, I'll mention the Cosmic Lighthouse in there, so that people can follow that one up then.
It's a good source of information for all types of people.
Is it simply one that you have recommended, or do you have some input into it?
I've had a couple of articles published by them, but that's not why I'm asking, you know, pushing its name. It's simply because it is a very good source of information.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it sounded odd, you know, you're in France and you've got this sort of magazine in Singapore. I mean,
it's nothing to do with me. It's nothing.
Right. Okay.
No, it's nothing to do with me. It's a group of people in Singapore that they took a couple of my articles, and I often click on and have a look at their website.
Yeah. Now, apparently some of your passions in spiritual interest you've already mentioned, but what is it to do with non-duality?
Right. Okay. Well, non-duality, I kind of explain it as this way. You know, duality is like, if we think of it as a coin, Mike, duality is, you know, we think of a coin as heads and tails.
Yeah.
Well, non-duality is understanding that the whole coin is the head, the tail, and the edge.
Right.
There are three sides to a coin, not two. So duality is a person, say, like me now, looking out of a window. I am looking out of a window into the outside. And non-duality is completely inseparable and whole.
Yeah.
It's also called oneness, or, you know, you can call it whatever you want, but it's the primordial truth behind, you know, all spiritual seeking.
Right. You didn't mean that in the context of positive and negative, good and evil and things like that?
No, not at all, no.
No, okay. Because we're led to believe that this period, this cycle on Earth, which apparently is now coming to a close, was one of duality, which is why I asked the question.
No, I think with good and evil, will, you know, are concepts of duality. So in non-duality, there is no good or evil; it's all seen for what it is.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, some of the higher spiritual teachings actually say that there is no such thing as good and evil. You should look upon them all as experiences. Rather hard.
I mean, I think that's true, but again, it's depending. If you can't say the same thing to every person and everybody understand it.
Depending
on your awareness, there is that point.
Yeah.
If your awareness tells you that everything is whole, then, of course, there is no good or bad. There is no black or white.
That's right,
everything
yeah.
is just whole.
Yes. Now, I did read a number of people influenced your path, spiritual pathway, and you included Paul Brunton. Now, it's a name I've heard, but I can't place it. What was his type of influence where you were concerned?
Well, he's got some very good notebooks, which are, I think when he passed away, he had, because this is a guy, basically, Paul Brunton was a journalist, as far as I'm aware, who went out to the Far East and studied and took notes of some of the famous gurus and spiritual masters of the day, including Ramana Maharshi, who's rather well known. And he came back with some very interesting information and very interesting insights, including his own ideas of what enlightenment or realization was about. And when he passed away, his diaries were published, and they make some very interesting reading if you're that way inclined.
Yes. I have a feeling I might have read some of it, but I I feel it must have been quite a long time ago, and if I read something, it would have undoubtedly have had some sort of spiritual content. But yes, the name was familiar to me. Now, I wonder if we can come back to your book again, We Are All One. You suggest, I believe, in that book that people should venture beyond identity and realise that what you are is awakened consciousness.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about that one.
Okay, so, I mean, if we're talking about we're going on a spiritual search, if we're spiritual seekers, which is what we all are, you know, whether we know it or not, I believe, I think that we all are, there comes to a point where if you want to move forward beyond a certain point, you really need to seek the identity of what you are.
Yeah.
Or one of the methods, I should say, to be fair, there are many methods to get to the same place, but one of the methods which I used by accident as a natural process was to look at who I was and trace the I, see, find the essence of myself. And, you know, the process can only be best explained as saying when you seek the I, when you look at the I, when you keep going beyond the outside layers of I is, you know, this is my name because I was given at birth, I was born in that year, I'm wearing this and that. Underneath all that, you find the essence of the I, and then you go beyond your identity because you see that, in fact, there is no I that exists. Mm. Because once you develop to an understanding or an awareness that everything is whole, paradoxically, there is no I.
That would place you separate to the whole. Is the I, the way you see it, the ego?
Yeah, you can put it in those terms. The I is the ego self. And once the ego is dropped, because what is the ego? Once the ego is dropped, eventually all dissolves. You can only see, you know, a wholeness. And the way I explain that is all you can see is this. It's this moment, this present moment, this experiencing of the present moment. And it's really about going beyond your identity. It's about letting go of the ego, letting go of the concepts and the ideas that, you know, have rendered you unaware of your true nature.
Yes. Isn't it the ego that possibly tells you that you should have pride, makes you feel hurt and a victim? Doesn't the ego seem to look after you, and yet at the same time it keeps you separated? Would that be a fair explanation?
Yeah, I think that's a good one. It thrives on separation, on division. And your true nature underneath all that is one and the same. So it thrives and it is wholeness. So they're two different understandings, but you know, when you look at an animal is instinctual, and so you could say the ego is instinctual, but the pure mind, the pure nature underneath, is the inspiration behind everything. Is the I don't know what's the best word? Is the intuition?
Yes.
Is the awareness that you are?
Yes. Do you give credence to the idea that many have that we have a higher self?
Right, we can. That's another yes and no. You know, depending on your understanding, because you can start off seeking for a higher self. You can find the higher self, and then the higher self itself will dissolve into no self at all. So it really depends on your understanding and where you are today in your mind with that, you know, in terms of learning from it. But I think there's a process where definitely there is a higher self that you begin to understand as being real.
Right. So do you believe that is possibly what we could call our God self?
Yes. It's a yes and no. You can call that your God self. You know, I think the whole purpose of all this seeking and searching is that everything dissolves. And I know that sounds weird because we're all going, wait a minute, everything can't dissolve because we'll dissolve. And, you know, but really, if you let it all dissolve, then you'll see the truth. And I think that's a very, it's not that complicated, but it's quite difficult. Do you know what I mean? So, but that's the truth of it. Let all that stuff dissolve. Let all that, is it this or is it that? And just experience it.
But what I was heading towards there was the question of whether you believe that we all have what could be called a God spark within us, so that when everything else is dissolved, there is only that God spark left. In other words, we are all part of God. Would that be a reasonable explanation?
Yes, and that would be an understanding in a way, in a concept of putting it, you know, a way of putting that concept. But yes, that to me is a demonstration of truth, yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad there was no in that one.
Yeah, but you could say no as well, of course. But... if everything's dissolved, if everything is whole, if everything is completely whole, there is no separate this other bit. It's all whole.
That's right, yeah. So I suppose with our finite minds, a lot of these things we're talking about are very difficult to comprehend because we probably haven't even got the real understanding or even the words to describe it, have we?
No, exactly. I think that's the paradox we're all in. But I think the most beautiful thing is, and the most shocking thing is, that from my experience is that when you found that higher self or find that true self or even find it for a short time, then you realize that all those higher selves are all exactly the same. That's really why it's nothing to do with the ego, because the ego cannot, you know, will not allow that to happen, doesn't want that to happen. That you find out that you're really, we are all one, and that is the spiritual basis of the universe, the oneness of all things.
Right. I think we've arrived at the correct point in our conversation to remind you that we only have 55 minutes. Now, in the few minutes that are left, what I would like you to do is tell people the website where they can find out the details of your book. And I know you have intimated that it's available at Amazon, but would you like to give your website out for people?
Yeah, sure, Mike. It's for the book, it's www.we-r-all-one.net. That'll give you information about the book and how to buy it on Amazon if you want to. And if you want to look at the centre in France, if you're ever thinking about coming over to France, and are interested in all this kind of thing, you can go to www.dubon, which is dubon.org. Or if you just put Dubon in Google, I'm sure you'll find some stuff up there as well. I'll be delighted to see anybody over here at any time.
Where is it in location that people would recognise?
Okay, well, we're right down by the Pyrenees. We're in a place called Gascony, which is like an area in between Bordeaux and Biarritz, just on the edge of going down towards Spain. So it's a nice climate.
Well, that sounds okay to me. I've never actually taken a holiday in France, although I've been through it. But, I mean, people will know, get a vision of where Bordeaux is, and you say it's going on to Spain, that direction, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's a southwest.
Southwest, right, okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've got about 1 minute left. Have you got a message for our listeners? And if you have, and when you finish, I will then close the program, because I need a minute or two to announce next week's guest.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, I think just going back on what we've been chatting about this evening and your questions, Mike, I just want to say to people that, you know, there is a higher self, there is a truth beyond what you perceive today. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of your existence in this world is to go and find that, is to go and experience that and go and become that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, don't give up because it's not here today. You know, it is there. It's just that we don't always see it. Right. So there is hope, there is joy, there is heaven, there is God, and all those things within you.
Lovely
and
talk.
It's all there.
That's very nice. I must thank you very much for coming on to the program, Jonathan. It's been a very interesting chat with you. I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it. So I'll say thank you to you and announce that next week I'm going to have, as my guest, Jenny Smedley, who is an author of 6 books. It may even be 7 by now. Certainly it's going up to 8. And mostly in and around the subject of reincarnation. So I hope you can be with me then. And thank you very much for being with me today. God bless you all.